Thank you, Brother Joe. Appreciated that prayer, Brother Dave. God's powerful. He does a work. And He sustains us. He maintains us. He keeps us going forward. And it's all by His wonderful grace. Well, guys, good to see you tonight. I trust everybody's doing well. Amen. Had a good week so far. Nobody came in wet, so beat the rain coming in at least. That's a good thing. Well, I appreciated what Brother Joe said. You know, prayer, you know, we think about prayer and we pray, but friends, the significance of prayer is far beyond sometimes our thoughts about it. I mean, prayer is so, so vitally important for the Christian life. And we don't ever want to take it lightly. We want to take it with absolute sincerity because God works through prayer. And, you know, we've been looking at patterns of, we looked at the Lord Jesus and His prayers, and tonight we're going to pick back up with those patterns. But it's interesting as you go through the Scripture and you begin to look at lives and people, and you look at the prayer that was connected to their life and the impact. And you know, not only that, but just the nature of the prayer, what it was about, who was directed towards, and the outcomes of those prayers. And so much to gain from the Word of God. And so I want to turn this evening to Romans chapter 1 and verse number 9. Romans 1 and verse number 9. And we know that Paul is writing a letter to the church at Rome. And we find here in this text that prayer is part of Paul's ministry. It's part of Paul's life. It's significant. And I want to notice it together this evening. Romans chapter 1, verse 9, he says this, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing," and just underline that in your mind, "that without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers." And then he says, "making requests by, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you." But friends, I want us to think tonight about the fact that prayer doesn't originate with us. It's not something that we engender, that we come up with. It is something that is given by God, just like salvation is given by God. Prayer is given to us by God, and it's a communion between ourselves and the God who created us. And so the origin of prayer, it's divine. It's not a human origin. It comes from heaven. And I just want us to note here that you know, Paul in this particular text, this is part of the one another's of the New Testament, but he's praying on behalf of others. He says, "I make mention of you always in my prayers." And I think there's a great significance tonight that as God's people, you know, looking at our own lives, if a book was being written about us and we were exposing our hearts and we were demonstrating the nature of our prayer, how would it read and what would it say? He was praying on behalf of others. And so we know that the Spirit of God puts on our hearts prayer on behalf of others. And it's the one another's of the New Testament. So, you know, what it demonstrates is it demonstrates really what we would call selflessness and being concerned about others. And so we see that here. Turn with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 1. And saying that, friends, tonight, I'm not negating by any means the supplications that we would give to God on our behalf. But really, we'll see over and over again where Paul, he is concerned about those around him. And he's praying on their behalf. But notice Philippians 1 and verse 3. He says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." Now, he's writing to the church at Philippi. "Always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making request with joy." So we know he's not only praying for the church at Rome, right? But he's praying for the church at Philippi. And I appreciate it in this church when brothers pray not for just Calvary Baptist Church, but for the brethren around the globe. And that's kind of the nature of what we're seeing here. He says, "Always in every prayer of mine for you, making request with joy." Verse 4, verse 5, "for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And beloved, that's a great passage to really get a hold of and to let it just be locked into our hearts, because, you know, what God starts in our lives, and I don't care if it's the subject of prayer, whatever aspect of sanctification we're talking about, what God starts in our lives, He finishes. He finishes everything He starts. And so God will, he will complete His work in us and through us. That's a promise. And that's what Paul's saying here to the church at Philippi, that being confident of this very thing, He which hath begun this good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so, you know, once again, we say it oftentimes, but friends, it really isn't about us. It's about God's work in us. And how does He work in us? Well, He does it through His Word. He sanctifies us, He molds us, and He gives us truths concerning prayer and the necessity of prayer and who we pray for and why we pray and when we pray. And so we know tonight that God wants every believer engaged in prayer. And I believe that's why, you know, I was just sharing with a young man today that I've been discipling, but I was just sharing with him my life before Christ and after Christ, and how after I come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, I entered into an amazing internal battle from within. And that internal battle from within has put tremendous pressure on my life to be in prayer every day, because that battle never goes away. And I was sharing with him that before I was a Christian, I don't know that I ever experienced any of that battle. But after I was saved, you know, the enemy, the flesh, it just come against me, and it put a pressure within me that caused me to cry out to God to this very day on a regular basis for His power and His strength in my life. And so that's what we see here. We see that, you know, when God begins that good work in us, He has a way of conforming us to the image of Christ. And prayer is a big part of that. So once again, we don't ever want to weaken the idea of prayer. Well, I know about prayer. I pray. It's not that big of a deal. It is a big deal. It's a very big deal. And we don't want to forget that. But turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I want to notice verse 4. And so here we find the apostle, and he's writing unto the church at Corinth. And once again, we get this pattern, this teaching, this understanding on the subject of prayer. And he says, I thank my God always. Now, friends, just a quick question tonight. Is thankfulness an aspect of prayer? Yeah, when we give thanks to God, we're actually doing the will of God. Do you guys realize that? And so just saying thank you to God for His goodness and His grace is doing the will of God. And we're to be thankful. That's what we see in 1 Thessalonians. So a thankful spirit is a yielded spirit, and it is according to the will of God. But I thank my God always on your behalf, watch this, for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. And so Paul was thanking God for His working grace in the lives of other people. And you know, beloved, when I pray for people, I do pray specifics, but oftentimes I will pray God's grace into somebody's life, because it's the grace of God that not only saves us, it's the grace of God that sanctifies us. And Paul said, everything that I am in this life is by the grace of God. And so what I want in people's lives is God's grace. I mean, He makes the difference. And so when I'm praying for the brethren, which I do every day, I pray for the people of this church, I'm praying that God, His grace would abound in their lives. And so that's an important prayer. And we can extrapolate from this that we should pray that, because that's what Paul prayed. And once again, this is Spirit-driven. This is Spirit-guided, the Holy Spirit. Then he says in verse 5, that in everything ye are enriched by Him. Notice that. Who are we enriched by? By Him in all utterance and in all knowledge. So what's you know, when we stop and we think about that and we think about the source, you know, where does it all come from? Once again, it just drives us back to the reality that God is the dispenser of all good things. And so he's praying that they would be enriched by Him, the Lord Jesus, in all utterance and in all knowledge. And verse 6 clarifies it, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. And so once again, what a powerful thing. So we find in this epistle and in many of Paul's epistles that he's praying for fellow believers. They're on his heart. They're in his mind. Now, friends, God is sovereign. He's in control of all things. And yet, we find in the fabric of Scripture, we are called to pray. Does it have significance? Friends, it has significance. We need to pray not just for ourselves, but we need to pray on behalf of others. And so we see this pattern. And he's asking for this enrichment in all utterance and knowledge. And so, friends, knowledge, the understanding of God, the wisdom of God, part of the source of that is it comes through what? Prayer. And what does James say? If any man lacks wisdom, what's he to do? Ask of God. And who gives it to us? God does. He gives it to us liberally. And the Scripture says that he upbraideth not. And so God is a dispenser of wisdom. He's a dispenser of knowledge. That is not man-made. That's not something that man engenders. That is something that comes from the divine. And it comes through a humble heart that receives the truth of the Word of God. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And like I said, we're just looking at patterns, getting perspective on the subject of prayer. And sometimes it's just good to be reminded of these things, not saying that we don't already know them, but it's good to be reminded. Ephesians 5 and verse number 20. And you guys, if you didn't listen to John's lesson last Sunday, he really covered Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 very well. In all prayer and supplication. And, you know, once again, the idea and the necessity of prayer. But he says here in Ephesians 5, verse 20, he says, giving thanks always, not some of the time, always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's significance here because whose name do we pray in, friends? The name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the verse again, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the nature of Paul's prayer is one of thankfulness on behalf of people. It's done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, you know, when we pray, Jesus Christ is our mediator. He is our high priest. And so we pray through Christ to the Father. And so it's in His name that we pray. And friends, when we pray according to His Word, we're praying according to His will. And the promise of Scripture is if we've confessed our sin, God hears that prayer. He hears that prayer. We can have confidence in that. Beloved, tonight I just want to say too, as I'm thinking about that, that when we pray for somebody's salvation, it is God's will that people be saved. And we can pray with confidence for that person that God desires that that person would be saved. You know, the Apostle Paul, you know, in the book of Romans, he prayed on behalf of Israel that they would be saved. And the fervency of his prayer and the intent of his prayer was so overwhelming because he was willing to sacrifice himself that they would be saved. But, you know, we have to ask ourselves, where did that prayer come from? Was that something that was engendered by the Apostle Paul? No, friends, that was the Spirit of God putting on his heart the desire to see Israel saved. And so the Spirit of God always puts within us the desire to see others saved. And it's God's will that people would be saved. Amen, brother?
That's right.
Yeah. So, you know, once again, these principles are just so good for us to see and these patterns of prayer. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians, the first chapter. And once again, Paul is writing to the church at Colossae. And so, you know, we're just seeing this pattern through all these epistles. And he says, we give thanks to God. You know, beloved, when you're thanking God for other people, you know, sometimes we as human beings, we deal with bitterness or we deal with some kind of an emotional twinge where somebody's offended us or hurt us. You know, if you want things to sync up in your life, give thanks on behalf of everybody around you. You know, one of the greatest things we can learn is that everything that happens in our life God has purpose and plan. I don't care what it is. Everything that goes on in our lives. And sometimes God puts us in these difficult places because he wants to grow us. What we do oftentimes is we think, well, they're the problem. No, no. We look at ourselves. God, what do you want to teach me in this situation? And friends, when we get to this place where we're thankful for those situations, we're thankful for those people who oppose us, now we're starting to walk with God. And we're beginning to understand God's purpose and plans. And what happens is when we have a thankful spirit on behalf of somebody else, that bitterness and that hatred, it goes away. They can't intermingle. And so God always wants us to be thankful. And that doesn't mean that we don't, you know, we carry out biblical truth. If we need to reprove or correct, we do that. But friends, it begins with a thankful heart. And God's put me in this situation for a purpose and a reason, and I need to know his purpose and reason. So maybe I don't at that point. Well, I ask God for wisdom. Is God faithful to give it? Absolutely. And so once again, Colossians 1 verse 3, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Now notice what Paul says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which ye have to all the saints. And so, you know, when we come in contact with another believer who's maybe not a part of our fellowship, should we offer up prayer on their behalf? Absolutely. You know, for those who believe, and we should pray for them. And obviously, we pray for the lost. I mean, we've already talked about that. But so we see this great pattern. So John 3:14 is a great passage. And or 1 John 3:14, I'm sorry. And we'll go ahead and turn over there because I want to connect something tonight that in contrast to what Paul's saying, you know, seeing his love for the brethren, because everything that we've looked at through Romans and Philippians and Colossians and what other book was we in? I don't know. But we see this consistent pattern. And the reason we see that pattern is because God puts inside of every believer a love for other believers. You guys believe that? He does. And he says here in 1 John 3:14, notice what it says. We know, that's emphatic, folks. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. You see, outside these walls, the unsaved world does not care for you and I. They don't. They don't care for our message. You guys agree with that? That's very true. But you know, within the body of Christ, and as Dave prayed tonight, it rang home with me. You know, God, he talked about this common faith and this work of Christ. And friends, that's what God does. He puts within us a love for the brethren. And so when we are walking with God and we're walking in the Spirit, we have other Christians in mind. We're concerned for them, their health, their well-being, their witness, their testimony. I mean, you know, I pray for the brethren all the time. If I see something in somebody's life and God just, he encourages, I pray for them. And I pray that God makes the changes and does the work. And I can honestly say to the glory of God, I've watched God do that work and I've never said a word to those individuals. But I've seen God make the changes. And that's the power of prayer. He does make the difference. And so we know we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother, what does it say? He abideth in death. And so, friends, once again, God puts within us this longing to see others raised up and going and glowing for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this tells us, it's a telltale sign when we have a love for fellow Christians, it's a telltale sign that regeneration has taken place in our lives. Because before we were saved, we didn't love Christians. I didn't love Christians. Did you love Christians? No, no. And then God saves us, and then we have this love for the brethren. And I always appreciate what Brother Joe says. He always talks about the fellowship and the joy of the fellowship and being among the brethren. See, God just puts that in us. That's part of that regeneration. And he puts that in us. And so those that we love, we pray for, right? We find ourselves praying for them. Now notice Colossians 1 verse 3 again. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. So notice it's not cliquish, to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Notice this, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before the word of truth of the gospel. Now listen, which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. So, beloved, I ask this question. What is the fruit that the Spirit of God produces? Well, part of that is prayer on behalf of others. We're praying for other people. And if you find yourself praying for other people, that is a fruit that God puts within us. And friends, don't ever lessen or weaken the idea of the importance of prayer. I think that happens. And we don't want to weaken that in any way. So the gospel produces fruit. And of course, it's not only in prayer, but it's in the fellowship. It's in our witness. It's in our testimony. That's all fruit. You know, there's the fruit of the Spirit, and that's all part of it. It's all that working of God in our lives and through our lives. And so notice what the apostle says, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. And so, beloved, prayer is a woven fabric throughout the Word of God. It is so important. And I say that because I know in my own life, there's times that we can get to this place where we're just not listening to the Spirit as we should, and we're not praying as we should. But every time God the Holy Spirit prompts us, we should instantly yield up and pray. And the same way with His Word, you know, you're going throughout your day, and I understand if you're at work or you're in a place you can't do it, obviously you can't open up your Bible, but so many times at home, God will prompt us to get in His Word or to pray, but instead we'll give our attention to something else that is worthless. And we always need to yield up. And so prayer is that woven fabric of God's redemptive work, and He puts within every one of us this desire for prayer. And I know for myself, I could just share this with you guys, but about 3 to 3:30 every morning, a.m., God wakes me up. And the first thing that happens is I just begin to pray. I mean, it's just there. It's there. And I begin to pray for the saints, usually, typically the saints. And oftentimes I'll pray for God's enrichment in my life, that I would be yielded and under His control, and that His Spirit would lead me and I'd walk in the ways that He'd have me walk. But that's what He does. I mean, He constantly moves us to prayer. And I want to say something here, you guys, tonight, because some people have a misconception of prayer, and they look at prayer as a religious activity. And you know, you think of places like in the book of Daniel, where Daniel prayed three times a day, and so they designate in their mind, I'm going to pray three times a day. Friends, if you're walking in the Spirit, you pray when the Spirit of God moves on your heart. You don't set aside three times a day to pray. Now, obviously David did that, or Daniel did that, but the reality is that was something that was listed, but we don't really know what he was doing throughout the day. We know he had three distinct times that he prayed. But in the Scripture, we always find praying always in what? The Spirit. And so it's not a ritual. You know, we want to be careful with that. This isn't about ritualism. It isn't about, you know, having a set prayer that we do three times a day. We're not Muslims. We're Christians who walk in the Spirit. Amen. And when the Spirit moves us, we pray. You know, we walk according to that truth. And So it's not about some activity that we do. It's about being sensitive to God the Holy Spirit. And friends, there's been times that I've been driving down the road and I'll see somebody and God will just quicken me, you need to pray for that person. You guys ever experience that?
Oh, yeah.
And instantly I'll begin to pray for them. I don't know what's going on there, but God has burdened my heart to do that. And so that's God just wants us dialed up and dialed in and hearing what His Spirit has to say. So the ultimate purpose behind prayer is always the advancement of God's kingdom. It's always the advancement of God's kingdom. You know, everything that we do, if we're praying for vitality and health in our life, it should be so that we can advance the kingdom of God. It should never be selfish. It always should be for His purpose. And so God designed the church of Jesus Christ to advance His kingdom. And so it's all about Him, right? And it's all about His kingdom. So, you know, that's important to remember as believers. So the nature of a man's prayer will always reveal the nature of his heart. And people who are self-consumed and caught up within them own selves, their prayer is going to be a selfish prayer. But the man who's fixed on advancing the kingdom of God, his prayer is exactly that. I want to see your kingdom advance, God. I want to see people saved. I want to see Christians protected. I want to see your hedge about them so they can be faithful witnesses and your kingdom can be advanced. And so, you know, we always talk about there's a big difference between what we would call a man-centered gospel and a Christ-centered gospel. Friends, we believe in a Christ-centered gospel. So everything we're doing in this life is not for ourselves. It's for God's glory. It's for the advancement of His kingdom. And we want to advance His kingdom. So our heart, what we're praying oftentimes will tell us where we're at. And friends, if our hearts are not where they should be, then what should our prayer be? God, make those changes in my heart. I need to change some things. There's some things that are out of sync here. And I need to get it fixed. And God, I can't do it on my own, but through your power, through your plan, your purpose, it can happen. And He's faithful to do it. And so, you know, I'll just say this, as a younger Christian about my own life, there was many prayers I prayed that were selfish prayers. And you know what God did? He revealed to Rick Grossenbacher, Rick, you're out of bounds. You need to get in bounds. And friends, He's grown me. And if we're seeking Him every day, you know what He'll do? He'll grow us. He'll grow us. And He's done that. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And once again, verse number 2, as we continue on. And looking at Paul's commitment to prayer and some patterns here and just gaining some nuggets of truth on this subject. He says this, folks. He says, we give thanks to God always for you all. So once again, there's thanksgiving on behalf of the saints, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love. And beloved, can I just say something tonight? You know, when you see Christians that are working for God, don't criticize them. Pray for them. And if, you know, if we're not up to the place where God wants us to be, we need to pray that God would bring us to that place or cause us to understand who we are and where we're at and where we should be. But whenever you see somebody doing something for God's kingdom, we don't want to become critics of those individuals because they're seeking to do the will of God. We want to lift them up. And so sometimes what happens is we get kind of a negative thought life, and instead of really looking at the benefits, we're degrading because maybe there's something we don't like about it. Or friends, we ought to be praying that God makes the changes. Is He faithful to do that? Yeah, and we should pray. And so Paul, you know, he's saying here, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. And we're all in this process of growth, right? Has anybody arrived in this room yet? Anybody perfect by any means? Yeah, no, none of us are. We all fall short. So we're all in a process of growth. He says, in labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. And so what can we pull from this text? Well, obviously, he's making mention of those who are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And beloved, you know, we ought to be praying on a regular basis. And I just plugged this in, and you know, if it takes root, great. But we ought to be praying that God would give every one of us every day opportunity to tell somebody else about the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to be praying that every day. And that God would give us utterance, that He would give us the knowledge and the wisdom, that others would share the good. I mean, that's why we're here, friends. God saved us to evangelize, to tell others about Him. And that can come in many formats. I mean, you come along somebody that's hurting, they're unsaved. Can I pray for you? And, you know, give testimony of the Word of God to them. You know, there's so many different modes in which we can get Christ out. And it can be, you know, it can be through a Bible tract. It can be through a relationship. It can be through one-on-one evangelism. It can be sending somebody. I always appreciate Rhonda at Christmas time. She sends a big letter and gives a huge testimony. And I know you send it to a lot of people. I don't know how many, but I know you send it. But just little things like that, friends, that's a witness for God. And that all has impact. Sometimes we don't think it does, but it does. And so we're remembering without ceasing the work of faith, the work of faith, the work of faith. And we're praying on behalf of others. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians 1 in verse number 3. Paul's writing this letter to the church at Thessalonica. And he says, We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Friends, is that a vibrant working situation? Amen. Yeah, it's pretty powerful. And he says in verse 4, so that we ourselves glory in you in the church of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. So you know, once again, just a beautiful picture unfolds right before us, and in the framework, it's the thankfulness to God for what's taking place. God's doing a work. And friends, we need to remember that. You know, God doing a work at Calvary Baptist Church Emporia, Kansas? He is. And He's doing a work in so many churches across Emporia, across the globe. He's doing a work. Now, there's a lot of churches in saying that. I have to be careful, because there's a lot of churches that are not doing a work for God. They're out of bounds, but there are churches that are doing a work for God. And we pray for them. Drop down to verse 11. He says, wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of His calling and fulfill all His good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power. So notice this. I've got a brother, and I'm just wanting God to strengthen his life. And so I'm praying for God to increase faith in his life, God to give him power. Can God do that? Well, obviously He can. And then he says in verse number 12, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, friends, Paul's life was occupied with prayer. He was in prayer. And he was in prayer not only during the daytime, he was in prayer at nighttime. He was constantly in prayer. And this is what he said. These are Paul's words to Timothy, 2 Timothy 1, verse 3. He says to Timothy, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers. Listen to this, night and day. Night and day. And so, beloved, prayer, if we're listening to the Spirit's call, He's calling on us all the time to be in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 3:10, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. And so if I pray for somebody, that if there's something lacking in somebody's life and I pray for that, can I have confidence that God can make the changes? Yeah, I sure can. And so, beloved, the Apostle Paul understood the necessity of prayer. And that's why he tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice evermore. And what does he say in verse 17? Give thanks. But in verse 17, he says, pray without ceasing. Yeah. And then verse 18, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I'm going to go on just for a few more minutes, if that's okay, because I want to spend time tonight in prayer. I've been wanting to do that you know, as a congregation, as a group, and we're going to do it like we've been doing it, where we just go around the room and you pray as God would lead you. And if you don't feel comfortable praying, we'll go to the next person. We totally understand. But Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, and you guys are, this verse, we quote this verse a lot in our church. Most of you have it memorized. But it's another really excellent pattern for prayer. It's a great pattern for prayer. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6, he says, Paul's writing to the church at Philippi, he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, don't leave that out, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Friends, what we find here is that prayer is that which gives you and I peace in the midst of our conflicts, peace in the midst of our difficulties. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. So it's through prayer that we actually find this peace of God. And why is that? You know, friends, many times when we're praying, we're just saying back to God what God's already told us. He's given us promises. And many times when I'm praying, I'm just praying back the Word of God and what God has said back to Him. And I'm believing Him, I'm trusting Him. And friends, God gives us His peace when we look to Him, when we trust Him. And if you stop and think about that, it is so true. If you're looking at the world and the things around us and we're trying to find peace through earthly means, you'll never find peace. But when we come to this place where we get outside of ourselves and we say, God, you're in control, I trust you, I believe you, I'm bringing my supplication, my concern before you, it brings us to a place of rest. The other night, and I shared this, but Sunday I believe it was, but you know, there was these threats of Iran, you know, trying they've got some long-range missiles and wanting to nuke the U.S., I mean, making threats and stuff like that. That stuff doesn't even faze me. And it's not because I'm somebody special, but it's because I trust the God of the Bible. I believe what He says. And so we have this peace that passes all understanding. And only God can give that. Man can't muster that up. He can't make that. And he brings this place of absolute rest. And friends, it's a good place to live. I'm going to share one other passage, and then we're going to take prayer requests, and then we're going to have prayer. But Colossians 4, and actually verse number 2, Colossians 4 and verse number 2, back to the church at Colossae. He says, continue in prayer and watch the same with thanksgiving. Have you guys noticed the pattern here of prayer and thanksgiving? Have you seen that as we've been going through this? He says, with all praying also for us, so he's asking for prayer, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm also in bonds. Verse 4, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. And we read this a couple weeks ago. Or Dave, did you share on this? Somebody, this has come up. But friends, this verse is so rich in regard to the connection of prayer and the utterance of the Word of God. You hear what I'm saying? And so, you know, prayer is so connected to every part of our existence as believers. I mean, it's connected to everything. And from the time we wake in the morning throughout our day to the time we go to bed, prayer is a vital part of our lives. And especially when it comes to connecting with other people. You know, when somebody teaches the Word of God, you know, and appreciate once again Dave's prayer, but we're asking God to lead that, to direct that, to control that. We need to be out of the way. He needs to be the one who leads the way. And so we're going to him in prayer. And then the last one, and we'll stop here. Romans, we're going to pick this back up in 2 weeks, but Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Continuing instant in prayer. And so prayer is a way of life. It's part of the Christian. I illustrated, I think, maybe in 4 weeks ago now, but it's like breathing. You know, the atmosphere puts pressure on us. If you try to hold your breath for a long period of time, eventually you'll breathe, because there's so much atmospheric pressure, your lungs start to hurt and you just start breathing. And friends, God puts pressure in our lives to cause us to offer up prayer. And he's excellent at doing that. And so he keeps us connected. And I'll just give you guys the topic for next week. I was going to cover it tonight, but we're going to run out of time. But I want to demonstrate all the, and I'll do it next week, but we find prayer in caves. We'll find prayer in a time of war. We'll find prayer where people are sleeping. I mean, prayer takes place everywhere, at all times, and in all ways. And it's not designated. I've heard teaching, you know, well, you got to go into your prayer closet. That's where, friends, prayer takes place wherever the Spirit of God puts it upon our hearts. And we'll look at that next week. But anyhow, let's take prayer requests, and then we'll actually start back there with John. And then we'll come down here, and we'll have Diane, and then we'll go right through this row over here. You guys, we'll get done, and we'll start with Brother Joe, and we'll go across, and we'll go back up until we get to Diane. And you guys with me on this? Everybody tracking? Yeah. And so we'll just pray as God leads it. If you're not comfortable praying, don't worry about it. That's perfectly fine. Don't want to put anybody on the spot. But let's go ahead and take prayer requests.